Isaiah chapter 9, if you will. Go to Isaiah chapter 9. Let me say this as I start. I have a word of prayer and we'll get right into the word of God. By the way, aren't you glad you're saved today? If you're not, you're living beneath your privilege. It is a wonderful thing to be a born-again Christian. It doesn't get any better. And it'll get better in heaven one day, but right now this is the best there is on this earth is knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me say this. I'll pray and we'll get right into it. You know, sometimes, well, all the time, the Christian life is a battle. Would you agree with that? Technically, it's a war with a lot of different battles. Paul says we're to, you know, it's a good fight. You know, the Bible uses these military words about this because, you know, we have a very capable and very, very vicious enemy. The Bible says in the last days, there'll come a falling away. Would you agree we're kind of watching that happen today? More than I've ever seen it in my life, especially in the last 5 years. I've seen so much stuff going on in the past 5 years, it blows my mind. Everywhere I go, I've now preached in about, I started traveling, I stepped down as a pastor in January of 2019. I've now been in I've got to sit down and count them, but I've been in somewhere between 330 and 350 churches now. I've been in a lot of churches, seen a lot. My wife and I were talking about this. We have seen, and it breaks our heart, but it's a sign of the terrible day in which we live. All across America, you'll find pastors that have a lesbian for a daughter or a sodomite for a daughter or a trans, whatever you want to call those people. They, them, he, it, you know, those guys. There's pastors that have that as kids and deacons that have those kind of things as kids. And then you have another level down where you have kids that are just, they're all over the internet. Oh, my church. It used to be the best thing in their life and they were so happy. I heard a preacher recently say, Brother William Miracle, a preacher out in California in Santa Rosa, he preached at our church and he talked about how what happens is, you know, there's just the Lord's side and the devil's side. That's all there is. So there's the good and the bad, right? So you're going through your life and, you know, God is good. It's great. I love my pastor. I love the church. I love the word of God. I'm trying to live for him. And it's great. And then something gets your attention and all of a sudden you're over here. And now you're bad. You're playing with the bad team. But every man's way is right in his own eyes. So you don't want to be bad. You got to make yourself good. So now what is bad, you've redefined as good. So now you got to look back over at what's good and make it bad. Pastor Ross used to be your hero, but when you get over here, you got to look back and make him bad. Oh, man, it was a cult. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They had us in church all the time. And then they had us there for, you know, I know all about it, man. I was drugged. You heard that before. I was drugged when I was a kid. I was drugged to morning Sunday school, to morning church, to evening church. I was drugged all the time. But see, you got to look back there and you go, well, that church, man. You know, and now you got to make Blessed Hope Baptist Church bad. You got to make Mrs. Ross bad. You got to make all the people that loved you, all them Sunday school teachers and everybody that invested in your life. You got to look back and you got to change the history now and make that bad because every man's right way is right in his own eyes. And you're doing good now. You get that? It's terrible. It's happening all over the nation. They're getting all over the internet and thrashing the preachers and thrashing the word of God and thrashing all this and trying to make this bad. I'm going to share something with you. They'll never make that bad. They might do it, you know, sometimes in my life, you ever heard that phrase? Well, they're a legend in their own mind. You ever heard that before? I told a brother here recently today, and I tell people all over the place, the older I get, the greater football player I was. I can change that history all I want. Nobody knows. They didn't have any video. There was... You know, the reality is that you can sit over here and change bad to good, but it's still bad. Because you don't get to define sin. God defines sin. You don't get to decide right and wrong. God decides that. It's amazing to me how there's kids that had a wonderful youth group. had a wonderful youth pastor, had a great time, and they were had a great time going soul winning. They had a great time in church, and they were there at all the revivals, and it was exciting. It was great. It was wonderful. But then they got a job at Taco Treat or Taco Bell, and there was a girl there that fluttered her eyes at him. And he got over here, and one day he had to make a choice between this world and that world. And so many young people through the years have made a choice for this world, and the only option they have in order to still feel good about themselves is to turn around and trash that. That's what they have to do. So with all that kind of in our consciousness, and then would you say that, let's say that you had a church that had a pastor who believed the King James Bible was the Word of God, the every word book. Let's say you had that pastor. Let's say that you had a church where the gospel was preached faithfully, unwavering. Let's say you had a church where buses were going up and down the street. It didn't take me long this morning to figure out who the bus kids were. We had a bus ministry church our whole entire time. You know who the bus kids are, right? They're the kids that kick the pew. They're the kids that lay down during the singing and you have to, hey, go ahead and sit up. No. Right? They're bus kids, you know. They don't know, you know. They've never been to church that much and don't know how to behave. And everywhere else in their life, they get to throw themselves on the ground and yell and scream and say, I hate you, right? And then they come to church and, you know, we're like, no, we don't do that here. And here's what you're supposed to do. And we work really hard at all that gas money, all that insurance. There were guys out here where I saw them. There were guys out here working on a bus till dark last night. I also saw some guys here yesterday. One guy was working really hard. I don't see him. He had a big black beard and he had a weed eater and he was sweating. Then there was two guys on go-karts, just, they were having a blast, man. I felt sorry for the dude with the weed whacker. One of Brother Chad was ordering. They were like, man, I would like to ride that thing. Man, that looked like fun. That wouldn't work. But you know, here they were till dark last night, or maybe past dark, working on a bus. Praise God. There's, you know, and then you have people that go out, knock on doors, and then you have missionaries like Brother No-No that's coming and all this different stuff. And I was walking around before Sunday school looking at all, wow, look at all those missionaries. Praise the Lord. Then I looked at that cabinet back there and I saw Robert Ross, pastor, blah, 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 founder of the church and so forth. And I'm going through it and I'm thinking, good night, that was a long time ago. All these years, people, ask yourself a question. We have an enemy.
Yes, sir.
Do you think that enemy is pumped about this church? See, he really doesn't care. I've driven past several churches while I've been out in your area here. And, I've driven past churches that I, in my mind, as I drive past, my heart just goes, I bet the devil's not real burdened about that place. I bet it really doesn't disturb the devil about that place. But when I pull up to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I know the devil would like to cause problems at that place. He's got to stop those buses. Got to stop that mission support. Got to stop this church from faithfully, you know, reaching people and helping families and all this stuff. I was here a couple Wednesdays ago when Pastor Ross was preaching on the family. Man, it was superb. I thought, man, that guy's brain, I wish I had that mind. He just is something. He was talking about duty. You remember that? He was talking about you have today you have my rights instead of, I can't remember how he set it up, but responsibilities. There he said. He said rights and he said responsibilities. And he said, we used to be a nation like that. We had civic duty. Remember some guy said, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. We used to be that way, but things have changed. And now it's like, what about me? Yeah. Everything's changed. That stuff has snuck its way into the house of God. What about me? It got into our marriages. What about me? You know, that was great what Brother Ross was preaching. You're really blessed to have a preacher like that. And I'm not saying that just to butter Brother Ross up. You got to remember, he's the answer to our prayer. He brought us her. I have four little grandkids running around here, soon to be five. So I really thank the Lord for his preaching. But I have figured this out, especially in the last 5 years. We're in a horrific battle. I'm going to pray and then I'm going to show you something, all right? Father, thank you for this time. Use it in our lives, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Look with me at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 5. It's not going to take me long to teach you what I want to teach you today. Everything that I've been saying has been building to this. Look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 5. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. Let me read that again. This is one of the most encouraging verses in the Bible. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. You ask a guy what type of movie he'd like to watch, he'd like something like that. Come on, right? You know, we like boxing and, you know, all that stuff. You know, my father-in-law, man, he loved boxing. And he boxed in the Navy, and he just loved that stuff. And when I was going to ask him for my wife Jeannie's hand, I didn't want to have the whole big, long, well, son, you know, I have a shotgun. I knew he didn't have a shotgun, so we weren't worried about that. But I didn't want to go through that whole big, long, half an hour thing, you know. So I was trying to figure out a way to avoid it. And so I thought, boxing, yeah. So we were going to watch a fight together. I can't remember. It's years ago now. I don't know how long. But it seems in my mind like it was Manny Pacquiao. And if you don't know him, you're not safe. Okay? And anyway, I think it was Manny Pacquiao. He was going to fight a fight. And, man, we started watching that fight. And it was a great fight. And I started timing how long the commercials were between rounds. And here's what I did. I'm a genius. About 20 seconds before the third or fourth round came in, I said, Pastor Dion, I'd like to marry your daughter. And he said, oh, man, if she's for it, I'm for it. Let's go. And that was it. That was our conversation. I'm like, woo, you know. But the reality is, so my father was a very encouraging man. He just had this way of him where he just, you know, encouraging words would just flow out of him. I would say something to my dad like this. I'd say, well, Dad, it's not fair. And my dad would say, well, son, life is tough and then you die. He was crazy, the encouragement that came out. It was so encouraging being around him. This verse is kind of like that. You know, life is tough and then you die. It says, you know, every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. Folks, here's the reality. Paul said we're in a fight. We're in a war. We all talked about that. We all agreed on that. Well, guess what? Every battle that you fight as a godly Christian warrior, every battle is filled with confusion and chaos. Why is this happening to me, God? What is going on around here? I thought that was my friend. It's weird sometimes. You'll have people, I've had people, my father, or her father used to say to me, son, don't believe your own press clippings. I don't know if you get that, but what he's saying, you know, in the paper, they write this glowing story about an athlete and lift him all up. But 2 weeks later, he doesn't shoot well in a basketball game, and they tear him down like he is the greatest loser that ever was on the planet. And my father-in-law used to say, don't believe your own press clippings. People say, oh, man, I love Pastor Nichols. He's the greatest pastor I ever had. When I ever hear people talk like that, I'm nervous. I'm nervous. I was in a church service one time, and this man, they were having testimonies, and this man stood up, and he said, Pastor Nichols, he said, I just want you to know that our family, and he named their name, he said, our family loves you, and you will always be our pastor. We'll always stand with you. I was only about 10 or 11 years old, but about 6 weeks later, he was in a church across town. I don't know how that happened, but, you know, we're with you, and then we're not. You know, you're our best friend, and then we're not your best friend. We love you, and then we don't love you. That's just part of it, isn't it? I've had people that said they love me spread absolute lies about me. say things about me that were horrible and not true. Tried to do everything they could to ruin me, ruin my reputation. You know what my wife and I figured out through the years? We had to let God fight our battles. Because, you know, the Christian life, you know, when you get in the heat of a battle, if you're not anchored to this book, you're going to make some stupid decision and be over here, looking back over there and tearing that down. It's very true. And it but listen to me, it happens to good people if they're not careful. They get hooked in with something they shouldn't be hooked in with, and all of a sudden, they're over in a world that they never thought they'd be in that world. But once they get there, it's human nature. Every, not just some of them, every man's way is right in his own eyes. Everybody, that's just our nature. We can't trust ourselves. We are not trustworthy. You can't trust in your own self. Your flesh, my father, for years, we'd go hunting, and I'd be hiking up a mountain behind him. My dad was an absolute animal. My dad, if you knew my father, you'd know exactly what I mean. My dad was about 6'4", 235 to 250. He fluctuated in there. He played Division I football. He had hands that were like baseball mitts. He milked 10 cows a day by hand when he was growing up. And he had these huge, massive hands. You did not want to get a spanking by my father. I just want you to know that. But I'd be hiking up a mountain after my dad, and I'd say, "Dad, we got to stop. I'm exhausted." And my father would look over his backpack at me and say, "Son, don't listen to your body. It'll lie to you." And he'd just keep going. You know, I'd go after him. Years later, I was very ill. And if you know my testimony, we've gone through a lot with my health. I was in the Mayo Clinic, and I was so, so sick. I'd been bedridden for a long time. Mayo Clinic pretty much gave up on me, told my wife and my parents and them that I wasn't going to make it. And I remember they're laying in the bed, and my father came in beside me, and he said, "Son," he said, "you want to have a long ministry?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, son, you're going to have to start listening to your body." I remember looking up off the bed and said, "Who is this imposter? Pull that mask off. That is not my father." And he said, he was trying to tell me, you know, I'd start to feel better and I'd go at it and then I'd be down like a rock, you know. But what I'm trying to get across to you, I don't know if you're grasping it. Sometimes we think the Christian life's supposed to be a bed of roses. And we're shocked when it's not. I have an old motor home that I'm getting rid of, and we're going to be, Lord willing, getting a better one. But this, my motor home would be the best way to illustrate this. My motor home, it's a 1997. It drives like one of your buses out here. You ever been sitting in the back of a bus and the driver hits a bump and you bounce off the ceiling, bust your neck? You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about? This motor home, if you're not careful with it, you can go over bumps and everything bounces out of place, the entire thing. You know what I'm talking about? Just like that. And you have to become, you have to learn how to drive that thing in order for all that to not happen. You know, in the Christian life, you can't be shocked when a big old bump happens. And chaos is, confusion is all around you. Now listen, every battle, if you're a warrior, if you're in this for the truth and the right, and you're in it for the finish line, you're a warrior. Because it's a fight. But it's not for the faint of heart. Because it gets filled with confusion and you can't figure out. And you better decide before the confusion comes in the battle. You better decide where you're going to look in the battle. If you start looking at the confusion and the chaos, you're going to go down with it. You've got to keep your eyes on your commander-in-chief, your general. His name is Jesus Christ. You've got to keep your eyes on that. People you really love and maybe are good Christians will fail you. They will. You'll think, "Oh my goodness, I can't. I thought they loved me. They were my heroes." And by the way, it's not wrong to have heroes. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. It's okay to have some heroes. Our young people need some heroes. I got 15 grandkids, and I'm trying to be a hero for them. I don't ever want them. I want them to always say, well, my papa, he was this. I want them to always have that. I don't want them to say, well, my papa, you know, he used to, but, you know, I don't want that in my family. I don't want that in my family. I want them to have something to keep looking for, but I want to teach them to look past me and look at Christ. Amen. See, that's the only way through the battle, because the battle's filled with confusion. And look what it says, too. So it's got confused noise, but then it says garments rolled in blood. Ouch. So it's not just stuff you're hearing and people are saying about you or my goodness, I thought, you know, oh, what is going on? It's not just all that mental battle. Now people are hurting you. Garments rolled in blood is a picture of, you think of in these battles in this old days, you know, there wasn't jets flying over and dropping bombs on them and all. This is the old warrior with the shield and then the sword and everything. So they're getting cut and they're getting hit and they're bleeding. But that's just part of the battle. I can't believe I got hurt. I was reading my Bible every day. I went out soul winning. And still this. Yeah. Every battle of the warrior results in confusion and chaos and wounds. I wish, you know, I'm sorry to be like my dad today. Well, life's tough and then you die. The Christian life's tough. It's rough. People that, and then we've got this other guy named Lucifer, and he's trying to mess us up. So not only we got all the people that he's using, but we got himself not using him. The Bible says that he's going about seeking whom he may devour like a lion. Now, for years, preachers, including myself, have often come to that passage and we say, now, what does the lion do? And it always ends up that the lion's looking for the weak one. I've come to the place where I don't really believe that anymore. I believe he's really looking for the strong ones. Because if he can knock down the pastor, he's got all the weak ones. If he can knock down the deacons, he's going to get a bunch of other people along with him. Remember Moses? Moses is going along, and he's just trying to lead God's people and trying to do what's right. And all of a sudden, and remember, he had this nice, peaceful life, you know, with his wife and his kids and his father-in-law, and he's taking care of the flocks, and there's no problem. And God says, I want you to go back to the place where you left and lead my people out of there. And remember Moses? Remember when that first happened? Moses was like, really? Oh, this is great. Is that how Moses responded? If I remember right, Moses was like, oh, no. No, I'm not your guy. I don't talk very well. Remember that? And every excuse that he threw at God, God said, well, I got that covered. Aaron will talk for you. And everything that Moses threw out, God said, I got it covered. Next thing you know, Moses is in Egypt. He's leading the people out. Pharaoh is being a bear. I mean, the whole thing's not going good. Finally gets them out there. They get to the Red Sea. Remember that? They could have taken that easy way, shortcut. But God said, nope, I want you to go this way, because if you go this way, the people will run back. So take this long, hard way. So he takes them on this long, hard journey. They get over and the Red Sea's in front of them. There's cliffs on each side. And the most powerful military in the world is coming down on them. They ain't got nowhere to go. The people turn around. You! And they point at Joshua. Remember that? That's what they did every time. It's the pastor's fault. It's the leader's fault. Then they get across the Red Sea. They start going in circles around the wilderness for all those years. And remember the time where they literally said to Moses, remember, they're now over here. So they got to make that bad and this good. Remember, they said, you brought us out here in this wilderness to kill us, Moses. Now think about Moses for a second. I didn't even want this job. Are you kidding me? I tried to get out of this. And now I brought you out here to kill you? I mean, good night. It's so ridiculous, it's funny. Not to Moses. They're talking about picking up stones and killing him, and they're changing the history. Oh, would to God we were back in Egypt, all the leeks and the garlics. When I was a kid, I thought, the leeks and the garlics? What is wrong with these people, you know? Now I'm like, yeah, that stuff's pretty good in food, you know? Remember, they're changing history, and Moses is a monster, and we got to kill. Isn't it crazy? Every battle of the warriors filled with confused noise and blood. Remember all that? Moses, his own brother and his own sister, his family, stood up against him. I had that happen in my ministry. And you know what happens when your own family starts getting over here? Even good people say, well, their own family, there must be something to this. Really? Have you ever held funerals before? You want to see some fighting with family? Watch what happens at many, many funerals or shortly thereafter. Well, I'll tell you what, you're not going to have everything. I'll get my share. And they'll fight. To the point of there's been many, many murders in America over junk. Families will turn on families. People that you thought loved you will turn on you. Why? Well, sin. Sin. What are we fighting? We're fighting against the devil himself. We're fighting against the sin nature of humanity. We're trying to take people from there and turn them into a servant of Christ. That's what we're trying to do. The flesh fights it. The devil fights it. And you and I as warriors got to get out of this mentality like, wow, this is crazy. I thought this was going to be easy. It's not easy. So Christian, you say, what are you trying to say, Pastor? Here's what I'm trying to say. You got it? You ready? Get a spine. Get a backbone. Toughen up. Say, man alive, what's up with you? I was just at football camp. You know, these little kids, you know, they come to football camp and they're homeschool kids, a lot of them, or they've been in Christian school. They don't even know how to fall on the ground. You know, they fall on the ground. They're like, the boo-boo. Here's the thing about football camp. No women allowed. And no one cares. And he's on the ground. I saw that little boo-boo. And everybody, get up. You're fine. That's Monday. Tuesday, he falls down. He already knows nobody's coming. So Wednesday, he's like, I better hit them before they hit me. Thursday's going, this is awesome. I'm a football player. Get a spine. Don't be this Christian that's like, well, I was hurt at that church, and I just don't know. I don't know if I belong there. Really? I've seen people get hurt at the grocery store. Get a spine. Come on, grow up. Amen. It's just part of it. It's a war. And it gets confusing at times, but the way you get it unconfused, if that's a word, is right here. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If you have this mentality that's like, well, Sister Blabbermouth talked about me, and I just don't know if I'm going to go back to that church. Oh, come on. Come on. I had a guy one time quit coming to church. He's my soul winning partner for 2 years. All of a sudden he wasn't in church. And two Sundays, the second Sunday, I went to his house on Monday. I said, man, what's going on? Oh, we're not coming back to that church. It used to be his church. Now it's that church. I said, what in the world going on? He said, well, Mrs. Marhefka, I can mention her name because she and her husband are both in heaven. And, you know, a lot of times I'm careful with names now because of the internet. But Mrs. Marhefka, her and her husband were from Poland, and they were wonderful people. Emil Marhefka used to sit over here and he'd say, Pastor, tell another Polak joke. You're Polish, man. And he loved them. But this man, he said, there's not enough room in our church for that woman and me and my wife. I said, what in the world happened? Well, his wife, she broke her leg or something. I don't remember what it was. So she came to church with a cast-like thing on and crutches. Mrs. Marhefker was always joking. And she said, "Well, brother, you better take care of your wife next time." She was just joking. And he said, "She shouldn't have said that. There ain't enough room in that church for my wife and I with a woman that would talk like that." And I thought to myself, "You big baby. I'm sorry. I grew up with a guy that's like, life is tough and then you die." So none of that stuff, you know, I never respected that. I thought, "Are you kidding me? You're a grown man. Stop it." But you got to come into the battle with this mentality. It's going to be tough. There's going to be a lot of confusion, a lot of chaos. I'm going to get hurt. There's going to be blood. But I ain't quitting because I'm on the winning side because of him. And stop taking it so personal. It's just a part of the game. Amen? Yes, Father in heaven, thank you for your word. It's just simple truth, but Lord, I pray that it helps somebody. I know it helped me when I saw it. And I pray that it would help somebody today. Bless now as we go to the morning service, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.